guys, welcome to Running Highs and Community Ties, the official podcast for Hills for ATL. I am Lindsay Sizemore. I'm going to be your host tonight. We have another incredible guest with us. This is going to be episode 10. I cannot believe we're at 10, you guys. This is so surreal a little bit for me. So I am pumped to have our guest tonight. Craig Ferguson is here with us. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Lindsay. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for, first of all, just being willing. Yeah. And coming up here. I know that you're a big fan of Hills for ATL, but before we get into that, tell me a little bit about who you are and how did you even get here in Atlanta?
How did I get here in Atlanta? Well, I born and raised here in Georgia, okay. Not Atlanta.
Okay.
I moved to Atlanta about 10 years ago.
But, from where?
Americus, Georgia.
I have actually been there a couple times.
Really?
Yes.
So whenever I say Americus, Georgia, I always assume people don't know where it is. And I have to go through my long speech about, hey, you know, we have a famous football player from Americus, or Jimmy Carter in the same county seat. I go through my spiel, but you saved me, so.
I have a picture with Rosalynn Carter.
Really?
For being in Americus, Georgia. That's the whole reason I was there.
Right. Yep. Okay, but he made us famous to put us on the map.
Exactly.
And then we have Habitat for Humanities in Americus, Georgia. So I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
So the founders from there and his headquarters in Americus. So we have a few things, you know, in Americus, Georgia, a lot of people
the
don't know about.
The Perry Wellness Center.
Yes.
I know all about that place.
Yes. And there's a guy named Craig Ferguson. He's from Americus, Georgia. You heard of that guy?
I hear him now. He's in front of me.
Yes. Listen, so we have a few notable things from America.
What brought you to Atlanta, though?
Career move, opportunities. So yes. I moved around a little bit. When I left Americus, went to college, came back home for grad school, and moved to Warner Robins, got married.
Uh-oh.
It didn't last very long.
Okay.
So I started over, reinvented myself, and ended up back in Georgia. So I took a brief... made a brief move, so to speak, to Florida a couple of years and came back. And so when I got back to Georgia, there was nothing for me in Americus.
Yeah.
So I came to Atlanta and been here ever since.
Heck yeah. So you are a big family and community type of guy from what I hear about you. I've talked to you a couple times. I've heard other good things about you. You're over here at this networking event and you're over here at a Goodwill conference or some sort of career show today. So I'm going to get into all of that. But first, tell me, like, how did you get involved with the Hills for ATL community?
Well, so I had friends who had been doing Hills for some time. And I remember sharing with a friend, hey, listen, I need to diversify my workouts. I need to do something different. I'm doing the strength training, but I need some type of cardio, X, Y, and Z. And the buddy said, why don't you come to Hills? So I'm like, okay, cool. And we talked about it and discussed it maybe a year or two.
Oh, you talked about it for a year
or two? I
did.
I vaguely heard about it and never tried it.
Oh, okay.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to try it. I'm trying to go to new levels. And my first time I came, it was tough. But I enjoyed it. It was a great lot of camaraderie.
What season was it? Was
this year,
the summer or the
it
fall?
It was in March, I believe.
Okay, that's a good time.
My first time, and I've been hooked ever since.
When you say
ever
hooked,
since.
Like, what are you hooked
to? The intensity of the workout.
Okay.
And it's something about going through the struggle with your brothers and sisters. You're not doing it alone. Because I tell you, listen, if I had to do the Hills workout by myself, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
But with the motivation and other people, I met friends. I didn't come looking for friends. I came for a great workout. But it's a different culture. It's a different community. I've never experienced anything like this. I absolutely love it. I'm addicted. And I tell everybody that I know, I say, hey, listen, man, Hills is something serious. I'm getting a great workout, great conversations, great networking, great friendships. It's been one of the best moves I could have ever made. I had no idea.
Yeah, you were just like diving in for a great workout, and it is. It's like a very intense push and a challenge, you know, but you found so much more than just that. And I feel the same exact way.
Yes.
Those water breaks, or if you happen to get there a little early or walk, stay a little after, you really do meet friends that can be like your next business partner or a friend for life, you know? And it just, I don't know, the encouragement and of just having them around, whether you talk to them or not, it does something to our spirit, right?
It does. Yeah. Especially on the days where you don't have it, so to speak, where you think you don't have it. And I remember going to one workout. It was a steps workout, Old Fourth Ward. And we were getting ready to do the steps, the toughest part, part two of that workout. You know, part one, you know, you're just kind of doing some things. Then it really turns up. And I recall standing at the bottom of the stairs, and I said, man, I hope I can make it through this one. And the girl next to me was like, no, you're going to make it. I said, okay. And so just that level of conversation and motivation, because there are days I got it. You know, I got it. I'm that guy. I'm ready, and I'm pushing others. But there are days I need to be pushed. And I see that a lot. And it just depends on what you have going on that day. Sometimes you have to be the one that's motivating people. And there are other days people have to motivate you. Right. And I see that a lot with our family, just the encouragement and the motivation. I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing.
Sometimes it just takes a word, you know, maybe it's just a fist bump or maybe you lock eyes with the person next to you, you're like, all right, let's go. You don't even have to know them, like, let's go. Like sometimes I catch myself like, you know, I'm racing you right now. And I'm just talking shit, you know? Right. And I'm like, I'm racing you. And then like, we make it to the top and I'm just like, man, I was trying to catch you.
Facts.
And then I didn't, you know, whatever. But it's just kind of like being strangers or none of that stuff even exists. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're connected to like this drive to get whatever, you know, we've just been tasked to do. And I also love what you just said as far as like, sometimes you just don't have it, you know, and that could not just be physically, that could be a mental thing. That could be some sort of stressful situation that you experienced that day. And maybe it took everything you could, maybe it took an hour longer in traffic than you wanted. And some other stuff is going on outside of this, but you know, sometimes you just don't have it all the way. But when you show up and then when you do it, you end up leaving knowing that that was the place that you were supposed to be that night.
Yes, and I come to a realization, and I don't put that pressure on myself. Sometimes you don't have it, and that's okay.
I love that.
And I'm fine with that. But I made a commitment to myself that during that 1 hour, I'm going to be present, regardless of whatever life is doing. Life can be life-ending, but I owe it to myself to take a mental health break away from whatever I may have going on, whether at work or at home. I lay it down. Yep. And that gives me that reprieve that I need. And I see so many people, I hardly ever hear people complaining about life when they're out there. We're talking about the steps. We're talking about the heal. We're talking about the camaraderie. So it's very healthy and it's very soothing mentally. And so you, although you're drenching with sweat, you feel refreshed.
Right.
Although you're dehydrated, you feel refreshed. And so that mental refreshing, you know, it's absolutely amazing. I think people come, it's a high. And so I hate to miss.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I joined.
It's so healthy. Yeah. And you're right. People do not talk about outside stuff. And you just hit it. Like, we're present. We're present. Everything else can wait. And I think so many other people are also present. They may not be looking at it like that. But I'm so glad you just put this on this podcast, because that is what we're doing. And in a way, being present in the moment is like one of the best gifts you can even give yourself.
Absolutely.
You deserve that.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
I just always love hearing how, you know, someone's experience has been, you know, and then, you know, when you gave the example of someone, you know, just looking at you and say, yes, you are about to do this.
Yeah.
Like, there is no other choice.
There is no other choice.
And then you do it. And then you're like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, right, we're here now. Let's go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then it makes you want to say those things to the next person when maybe they're doubting or this or that. And I just also love reminding people, if we're doing three laps of the same thing, you only have to do, if you can do your one, you know what I mean? If you have to take a break, you can.
Yes.
You know, it's all about just honoring your body. And nobody is actually looking at their phone trying to do work and things like that. If there's a phone in someone's hand, I'm willing to bet at least 90% of people are just taking pictures.
Absolutely.
You know, they're taking pictures, they're posting stuff, they're pumped up. It's like one of the easiest things to go tell your friends about, because you personally, genuinely had so much fun.
Absolutely.
You don't even have to like, it's like, I don't even have to sell it to somebody. I'm just genuinely excited about it. And and I just think that that's amazing. Mm, and so I want to go into a little bit more of what you do for work. Okay. You have a, I know that you say you work for Goodwill, and I don't know if you do other things as well, but I'd love to know what you do. And what kind of purpose and things do you find out of the work that you do?
Got it. Okay. Well, I worked in that social service, human service delivery space all of my life, whether it was counseling, case management, social work. So that's all I know. So with Goodwill Career Services, it's interesting because I never envisioned working for Goodwill Career Services. Prior to working for them, all I knew about Goodwill was donations and retail.
Yeah.
Never knew they had a career services division, which operates in that workforce development space. And working at Goodwill, it was an easy transition for me because in my capacity, I help people find jobs. I help people rediscover themselves. And I had to go through a season in my life where I had to reinvent myself. Mm-hmm. I had to go through some hardships. And I know that a lot of the trials and tribulations that I went through, it was all leading me to Goodwill. Mm-hmm. Because now I see people that come in broken. But I'm a living witness to them that you can be broken but not destroyed. Yes. And so I often share my testimony with the people that I'm working with. And so I can talk to them from a place of conviction, just knowing that I've experienced it. And so when I see a person come through, I can see the end in mind. I speak with the end in mind, not necessarily where they are. And so a lot of times people they don't need me to feel sorry for them, but I kind of speak life and say, hey, you got this. I've been through that. And I don't sympathize, I empathize. And so just come from a place of empathy, people are able to draw strength from that. Mm-hmm. And so at Goodwill, people that are broken, I show them a different way. And so we provide a number of employment services and skills programs.
Is this connected to supportive employment?
It is.
With the Department of Behavioral Health?
Yes. Okay. So we're connected all over the place.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, our workforce development model, Department of Labor adopted our model. That's Goodwill's model. When it comes to workforce development and the skills training program, that's our model. And so people come through the door, we have more than 16 skills programs, from supply chain management to phlebotomy, technology career program, and we just started a new program with electric vehicles. So we educate our participants and prepare them for a field where they're maintaining those service stations and repairing them and things of that nature. So we offer a number of programs. We partner with Georgia Tech. We partner with Georgia Piedmont College, Atlanta Tech. We have a welding program.
That's awesome.
Medical coding and billing. So a number of programs at Goodwill. I'm just grateful to have an opportunity to be able to lead people to those programs at no cost. So when people come and they donate furniture or clothing or shop in our retail stores, that money and those funds, it helps fund the career services division. So those career centers that we have, it's at no cost to the public.
What an incredible like model, you know? And I think that probably the most powerful thing that I heard you say, apart from Goodwill having this incredible model that's helping all of these people, is the fact that you are able to get in there and come in contact with people who are broken and at their lowest, and you're able to speak life into these people, but you're doing that by sharing your lived experience. You're being able to say, hey, look, I understand what it's like to have to start from the bottom, you know, but I also know every day I look in the mirror and I've had a comeback, and you need to expect that comeback for your life too.
Yeah.
And just speaking into the person about where they're going, not about who they used to be, because none of that matters, right?
Well,
let's get you a job. Let's get that productivity feeling going on inside of you so you can start feeling like a person again, like someone that you're proud of. You can start feeling empowered. And I just honor you for being able to have gone through what you went through and have chosen a pathway to then pour back into to countless lives. It's not just one or two. I mean, I heard you on the phone earlier talking to this person and that person. He was trying to have a conversation with me, but he was, you know, he was acknowledging people and shaking their hands, and you stand for something. You know, there's so many jobs and there's so many things that are out there, but then there's those jobs that truly directly impact. And I think bringing a person's story into whatever work that you do is so key in changing lives. And so I just completely honor you in that. And don't ever, ever, ever stop telling your story. Mm. People need that, you know? People really, truly need that. And it sounds like you have the opportunity to be connected to some incredible sponsors as well. And then to help people be able to live these fulfilling lives that they deserve to also live as well. We all have setbacks. We all have to hold our heads up even when we think we can't. And walking into places like that and seeing people like you, which is like a light, you know, it's people like you that are really, really helping people hold on, even if it's for another day. So I really appreciate that. And so you talk about all the stuff that you're doing for others. Now I want to know, what do you do for yourself? What ways do you take care of you, Craig? Tell me some self-care.
Okay, so one of the biggest things that I do is I take a look at my life daily. I do reflection. I reflect on my life every day in terms of what could I have done different, how can I improve. In doing so, I know what to do now, you know, whether that's reading more, working on me, and that's probably one of the best self-care I can do for myself. I take time to work on me, and I look at areas and room for improvement, and that makes me feel good. If I know there's an area in my life I'm not as strong in, I take joy in working on that. Always trying to present a better version of myself, and that makes me feel good. Whether it's praying or reading or doing deep breathing, exercising, spending time with loved ones, I'm at a place in my life now where my energy is directed to those I love and those that love me back. And so if that doesn't happen, I'm okay with that. And so my life has been much more fulfilled when I focus my energy on those I love that love me back.
I love that. And so that's actually something you shared earlier that was something you're proud of, that you've been able to kind of like overcome a little bit too. Like, it's just changing perspective on relationships. I mean, personally, like, perspective is like probably the strongest skill. If we could all develop a skill, like, that's the strongest skill. I think that if we could equip ourselves with that, we can get through anything.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So.
And and the relationship thing is just one challenge. My biggest challenge, and a lot of people don't know, but I don't look like what I've been through, to be honest with you. When I tell people that I experienced homelessness, they find it hard to believe. And not many seasons ago. But my homelessness didn't have me under a bridge, but it just had me without a home. So I've gone through a number of ups and downs in my life, but I'm a fighter. And going through a period of homelessness with advanced degrees, been in college forever, and I found myself in a situation that made some bad decisions financially, just wasn't a good steward of the things that I had, and I found myself with nothing. And that broke me on every level, the shame, the disappointment in myself, the pride, not discussing it or sharing with loved ones. But through that experience, I was broken, but I wasn't destroyed. And I come to realize on those times that God is still faithful. And I learned through that situation is that material things weren't as important. And you hear people say all the time, when you go through challenges and adversity, that it builds character. For me, it revealed my character because there were things that I thought I was strong in. I thought I was faithful. I thought I, you know, had overcome anger and things of that nature. But it revealed so many things about myself during that season. I thought I had courage, but until then I realized I didn't have courage because I couldn't share. Yeah, brought me to tears.
Hey, but it did reveal that you had a strength you didn't know you had.
It revealed I had a strength that I didn't have.
And you were a soldier and a fighter, and you weren't going to give up.
Yes, yes. So that strength, you know, I can lean on that today. So I'm stronger because of that. Yeah. And it goes back to my self-care. I'm always analyzing myself and taking a look at me, seeing how can I improve. And that gave me an opportunity to work on areas in my life. And I'm a much better man because of it. And I wouldn't take it back.
Right.
Because had it not been for my trials and tribulations, I would have never had an opportunity just to dig in and know I can get through anything.
Yes.
And so I share that with people. I'm not ashamed of my testimony. I own it. And this was me, and especially when I'm dealing with the teens or young adults, and they see the way I dress or what I drive, and they don't understand. And I have to share with them, you have no idea. But I am a living witness.
Yeah,
you know,
and
that
you can
stand in
and
the
they
fight.
Can expect it in their life as well.
Yes.
And so through your journey of this incredible testimony and navigating and rebuilding back your life, who would you say would be your number one supporters? Like what? It could be a community members. It could be a mentor. It could be your parents. Who do you think has played probably the biggest role in some support that you received?
Without flinching, it has to be my family.
Your family.
My family. We have a very, very small family, very supportive. And my mom, she's been speaking life into me and my siblings forever, even when we didn't understand it, you know, from a very young age. Oh, you can do it. You're the best. You're so handsome. You're so great. You're so smart. I'm like, man, I'm not that smart, not that handsome, but she always said it. And even to this day, if we come to her with an idea, oh, you got it, that's easy. You're going to do great. You're going to do wonderful. You know, you got this. And so I can always hear her words, even when she's not here, going through those trials and tribulations. I can always hear her voice saying, it's going to be okay. She always ends everything. Oh, it's going to be okay. And I can complain for an hour, but she will always say, it's going to be okay.
I love that. Mm. It sounds like she's an incredible woman that just affirms over you and over your life. And that has really helped. And even when she's not here, it like echoes in your mind.
Always.
And that speaks to the power of just having that kind of role model in your life. Mm. Because without that voice echoing in your mind, there could have been some pretty dark moments there. But you have someone like your mother being able to remind yourself of how worthy and strong and capable and amazing and how it's all going to be okay.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes you just need that little piece.
From a toddler to a grown man, I can still hear her say, it's
going to
be okay.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. So is it safe to say your family is your why?
My family is my why.
Okay.
My family is my why. And having an impact on others is part B of my why. And I recall, you know, different conversations that I would have with my mom, my family. She would always say, don't forget to help. Don't forget to look back, you know, da-da-da, as I was going through school. And she always reminds us to help others, always. And so I can't stop helping, even though I'm going through it. When I'm going through things, I still feel compelled, you know, to help people, regardless of my situation. And I've found that to be very therapeutic.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
I know we just met, but we have very similar stories, and I can't wait to connect with you more on that. But my community is, and telling, you know, my story, and you're telling your story, they strengthen us. They strengthen us in more ways, and someone who feels like they have nothing to bring to this table, those very people actually strengthen us along this journey as well. And we would never get to know that if we didn't reach back and share the story, offer a helping hand, share a resource to get them a job, write them a reference letter. I mean, little things like that are life changing, and I totally understand what you're talking about when it means like they're your why. And now you've become such a leader in so many people's lives. There are so many people that are looking up to you, And I say this all the time, like, even if you wanted to fall back, they're not going to let you.
Facts.
But even internally, because you know these people are looking up to you, your family, your mother, your community, you know, you're going to push even harder for them. Sometimes I do it more for people than I do it for myself at times. And I just, you know, just because of the love that you have for the strength and everything that they add to your life. And if we can get together on any of this in the future, I would love to connect with you more about it and just remind people of their value that they bring this world. And I just love what you're doing. I love that I got to hear a little bit of it when I was on the phone with you earlier as well. I'd love to know more of your story. And I know people that are listening to this, you know, podcast, they're going to be in awe of you. And they're also probably, if not them, they know somebody that's also been like this. And I hope that, you know, they can listen to this tonight and they can reach out and connect with you as well. And so as we close, I need to know, all right, we all have things we're working on. We all have goals. And in light of the Hills for ATL, you know, theme here, we like to say, what are you running towards? Like, what are some things that you're running towards? It could be career related, family related, personal related. I mean, where do you see yourself going? What do you see yourself accomplishing? And I just want you to use this place to be like your mom and affirm it all over your life right now.
Okay, absolutely. Just have an impact on this earth, right? And so there are so many different ways I can do that. But one of the biggest lessons I learned when I went through a season of not having a job, I realized that my network was not as big as it needed to be. Because I was working alone and just going to work, going home, and not really connecting with people, not involved in community like I am now with Hills for ATL. And I was always looking for a space where I could build and expand my network, but I just never really found what I was looking for. So I decided to curate a space where people can come together, professionals, and build and expand their network. And I was sitting around a table some weeks ago with some friends, and we had come together on a project, and they were helping me and assisting. None of them knew each other, but they all knew me. But they learned to love each other within that hour of having what I call a think tank brunch.
Nice.
And so during this think tank brunch, we realized that everyone had something that the other could benefit from. And someone at the table raised their hands, you know what, we need to do this more often. We need to network more often. And so we should call it something. And we named the group. And I had my very first networking event last Thursday night at the same place that my friends and I gathered. And we had like maybe 80 people to show up.
80?
Yes.
Stop it.
My first networking event.
I wanted to go too last week.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
80 people is amazing.
80 people. And so I foresee myself doing this. And the comments and the feedback that I got, I had people walk up to me and say, hey, listen, I'm an introvert, but this place created an atmosphere and opportunity for me to meet people. I had one guy, no lie. He said, listen, I don't have friends here in Atlanta. I've met so many friends tonight. That was enough motivation for me to continue to do this. I had one young lady who just moved to the area. She said, I heard about your event. I saw it on the Eventbrite and I want to come.
She said,
I didn't know what to expect, but everybody's so nice. I think I'm going to come back. And so it was things like that and those type of conversations that serve as motivation. So I know that I'm operating in the space that I'm supposed to be in. And so when you ask that question, I do foresee myself doing that and doing more event planning and networking, social networking opportunities for people to connect, to build community and grow both professionally and personally. So that was very satisfying and gratifying for me.
Let us know. Keep us posted.
Absolutely.
These networking events could connect people and take people to places that they never thought that they could even go, but they've
Definitely.
Always dreamed it. That's what's so beautiful about doing that. And just the lady that you said, you know, she's like, I came here and I met a bunch of friends. Like, you can't put a price on that, you know? And we've said before, we don't know how or what kind of day someone's had. And you've put on an event where people can connect and talk about the strengths that they bring to the table and some ideas. And there's just there is no drink or drug or anything that you can even put on the feeling that we get when we come together and we share strength like that. Because it leads to hope and it leads to opportunities and ideas, and then the ideas end up happening because we can do so much more together than we can by ourselves.
Absolutely.
And so if there's anything Hills for ATL can do for you as you embark on all of these goals and journeys, I know that you're going to be out there. You already explained how hooked you are.
Right. I can't wait for Saturday.
But you better come give me a hug. You definitely say what's up. I will continue to connect you with all of my friends. And we'll continue to sweat it out up there and take care of ourselves in the process. But I'm just so grateful that you're able to come on and to talk to us about it. And I hope now others will know a little bit about what you have going on. And I know that if anybody wants to get involved with maybe some supported employment opportunities with Goodwill and things like that, just to help people get back on their feet. There's so many people out there that are in transition mode right now that are carrying unnecessary shame, that need to go up there, get connected, because they just never had to go through this before. It doesn't matter about the degrees or the life or the family you're raised in. Things happen, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
And so it is in those moments that and that we are able to pour our strength into other people, and it saves lives. And not only that, the kids and all the things that are connected to that person's life when they finally get empowered again. And so kudos to you.
Thank you. That is
exactly what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really proud to know you. So you guys, this is what Running Highs and Community Ties podcast is all about. Mm-hmm. I really hope that if you're listening to this on your way to work or driving in this crazy Atlanta traffic, or maybe you're just getting ready in the morning, I hope you guys were able to get some good fruit out of this. Hope you were fed by some of this inspiration. I hope you feel a little bit closer to us and our community and what we are building out here every single week. Come check us out. We have stairs on Mondays. We have a morning and afternoon session on Wednesdays. Mornings are at 7:30, evenings are at 6:30. It's always at Piedmont Park. Follow us on social media. They have a mile crusher going on Saturdays. So if you can't make one of those days, maybe another one of those days works for you. And we would absolutely love to meet you and see you out there. And let's just continue to grow Atlanta and grow closer together and continue to get that strength that we've been talking about all night. So thanks again for tuning in, and we will see you on the next one.